Vice President Harris has not just done interview after interview over the years. She's been doing the job of vice president for more than 3.5 years. Tremendous chapter in her career. After having been a district attorney in San Francisco, after having been attorney general for the state of California, after having served in the United States Senate longer than J.D. Vance has even been in office. All right, so let's be clear as to where the experience and the maturity lies. And she'll continue to do more interviews. You've got to cut her a little bit of slack for the last 3.5 weeks, an unprecedented way to become the nominee for the Democratic Party. She's assembled the delegates to become the presumptive nominee. She has quickly vetted and selected a tremendous running mate in Governor Walz. We're preparing for the Democratic convention in Chicago, and she's stumping. She's doing the day job and stumping in all the critical battleground states. So we'll get to the media interviews soon enough.
Senator Padilla from California is like, give her a little bit of a break. She's really come to this nomination through unprecedented means. Oh, really? That's shocking to me. And she says, or he said something to the effect of like, kind of the shocking way with which she became the nominee. Like, who couldn't have seen that coming? I did. I'm sure she had an idea back when she was asked, oh, we did it, Joe. When she was asked if she would be the running mate for Joe Biden, you don't think she thought like, I might be the closest to becoming the president on day one that a vice president can be should we win this ticket? Ugh, everybody sees it. And now we're being told that she needs a little time in order to get comfortable in the idea that she's the candidate for she's the Democratic nominee for presidency. We need to give her some time. Heck no, we don't need to give her any time. You know who doesn't have any time left? People going to the grocery store right now who can't afford the groceries to put in their cart. That's who doesn't have any more time. They've been waiting 3.5 years for something better to come along, and they don't have any time left. You know who else doesn't have any time left? Parents across this country whose children made one single bad decision, took one single pill that maybe they thought was going to help them stay up and study all night or something like that, and it ends up killing them because it's laced with fentanyl that's pouring over our southern border. Those people don't have any time left. And every single instance of fentanyl coming across the southern border is an affront to those people who lost their children to feel like maybe those lives were lost in vain because the country's not doing anything to stop it from happening again. They don't have any more time. I bet you they don't have any more patience either. The Taylor Swift terror plot that was foiled the details of it are pretty awful. And you can imagine what that would look like. October 7th in Israel started with an attack on a concert. They were going to try to exact some sort of terrorist revenge at a Taylor Swift concert. Could that happen here in the United States? Could you be gleefully going to a concert that you've been waiting to go to for months? And could there be people here in the United States that are going to use that as an opportunity to mark a circle around a date so that when you say October 7th, everybody knows what you're referring to? When you say September 11th, everybody knows what you're referring to. Do we have any more time to wait for Kamala Harris to get comfortable so that she can answer to the American people? There's no time. She does not get to have that luxury. And as senator from California, I understand why you would maybe want to give her that time, because you fear the day that Donald Trump finds his way back to the Oval Office. And Kamala Harris in front of an interviewer that wants to practice actual journalism doesn't mean you have to be angry or aggressive, you know, the way they treated that initial reporter treated Donald Trump in the National Association of Black Journalists conference that they had. Doesn't have to be like that. You can ask very difficult questions and ask for clarifications or offer corrections if there is a journalistic factual way to push back on an answer that an interviewee gives. You can do all of that stuff in the name of journalism without being nasty at all. Can they do that to Kamala Harris? Can Kamala Harris handle it? If the answer is yes, then let's freaking go. Get her in a chair, one of those comfortable chairs. When you know when they show the wide shot of these interviews where it's interviewer and interviewee, and then they show the wide shot, they're going to a commercial break, and it's a big open room, and they're sitting like knee to knee. I find that to be uncomfortable looking. I would not want to be in that. That would be the most intimidating part of that instant, of that experience for me, is we got a lot of space in this room. Let's stretch out a little bit. Let's just give each other some breathing room. We can talk. We can hear. Why are we so close? And then if you've ever noticed Donald Trump, especially when he feels comfortable with the interviewer, he leans forward, which is a total power move. Body language. Kamala Harris, watch Kamala Harris when she is in an interview. And Brad, can you think of a single interview that she's ever done? I'm trying to think through everything, like all the clips that I played. Honestly, until she was the official nominee. Mm-hmm. We have avoided playing her on the show.
We really have.
It's almost been like a top rule. Can you think of a single interview she's done that's been even remotely challenging?
The biggest challenge I can think of goes all the way back to, I think it was either 2021 or 2022. And it was
after they were elected.
After they were elected, it was Lester Holtz.
Oh,
Holt. You remember Holt?
Yeah.
When are you going to go to the border? We've been to the border. You haven't. Well, I haven't been to Europe either.
Yeah. Yeah. Lester Holt. Man, she's really stretched her legs on that one.
Woo. Yeah, that's the only thing that comes to my mind is anything remotely challenging.
Brett Baer would be so fair.
Brett Baer, yes.
And you know that because I love when he's on X and every once in a while he replies to a Twitter troll that's like, he'll do it back to back. Where somebody's like, you're just in the bag for Trump. All you're trying to do is get Trump elected, blah, 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 blah. And then he says, you know, actually XYZ, but thank you for watching. And then the next tweet is, you just hate Donald Trump and blah, blah, blah. You know, you're just trying to make sure he doesn't get elected. And Fox called Arizona. Fox is calling Arizona for 2024, maybe 2028 already. I mean, it's like the pretty predictable reactions from people who were just there to troll, and he just retweets one or the other. So I've talked to Brett Baer before about this. He considers both accusations in full context to be somewhat of a compliment.
I would.
As a news guy.
Yes. If you're trying to be straight down the middle and you're trying to play it right, what you're going to end up doing is offending both sides. And if you get hate from both sides on it, you're doing what you're trying to do.
If your intention is to pursue truth, which is what real news journalism is supposed to be, then the truth, when exposed, is going to upset people. I know y'all listening have your own little hobbyist conspiracy theories that you like to dive into a little bit over here, a little bit over there. You can always find a conspiracy theorist because the first thing they say is, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but and then they tell you why they are. The lack of truth. The lack of just constant, unwavering, unfailing pursuit of truth. The end game, you might not ever get there. I mean, good journalism is perpetual. But the fact that we don't have that and where you can find it, and I think Brett Baer is a perfect example of where you can find it, when it only comes from one outlet. I think Catherine Herridge is another perfect example of news reporting. Jennifer Griffin does a very good job. I'm sure that there are examples of people who do great reporting on other networks, but if it's politically disadvantageous, it doesn't make the cut. They're not going to dwell on it because at the end of the day, the ultimate goal is the political outcome, which means we have no truth. Kamala Harris needs time, according to Senator Padilla, to work things out to get settled. Folks, she should probably be the president of the United States right now. She probably should have been the president of the United States a long time ago. Israel is waiting for war with Iran. Israel is looking at Hamas. Israel is looking at Hezbollah. And we are Israel's greatest ally. At least I think we are. Still today on a Thursday. I hope that's the case. So we gotta be two eyes laser focused on what's going on over there. We are in a position in the United States right now to have our nearest and dearest ally on the brink of war. This is a congressional bill, and it was, I'm pulling this up on my phone right now. It was in a Senate bill, a resolution, excuse me, a Senate resolution, July 31st, 2024. It's a joint resolution filed by, I think it was Lindsey Graham was the leader of this. And I can share the link to this. But the entire point of this, Section 1, authorization for the use of military force against the Islamic Republic of Iran. The president is authorized to use all necessary and appropriate force against the Islamic Republic of Iran if the president determines that the Islamic Republic of Iran, one, is in the process of processing a nuclear weapon that threatens the national security interests of the United States, or two, possesses uranium enriched to weapons grade level, possesses a nuclear warhead, or possesses a delivery vehicle capable of carrying a nuclear warhead that threatens the national security interests of the United States. Section 2, War Powers Resolution Requirements, and it goes on to describe that. This is a Senate resolution that was filed July 31st, so we're talking like 9 days ago. This is happening right now. Joe Biden is nowhere to be found. He's going to Delaware shortly. Kamala Harris needs time to work into her role as the nominee for the Democrat Party to be the president. She should be the president right now if this Democrat Party was also interested in truth and honesty. And they're not, because it is all about power. If Kamala Harris continues to choose not to face the American people, the Republican Party and the Donald Trump campaign need to go hard on pushing every single problem that exists right now in this country that has fomented under the Biden-Harris administration and tag it right to her. The border, Kamala Harris. Grocery prices, Kamala Harris. Gas prices, Kamala Harris. Fentanyl, Kamala Harris. Global national security issues, Kamala Harris. Every single one. And listen, if they're wrong, she needs to show up and say something about it. She needs to be pressed on it. And here's the deal, folks. If you are somebody who is running for office and people are out there smearing your name and attacking you for things that you didn't do, you are dying to get to a camera and a microphone to correct the record, to make sure that everybody understands, no, this is what happened, because you want to have your word on it. Of course, that only happens if what people are accusing her of, and absolutely needing to have the receipts to back it up, if the media reports on it. The reason Kamala Harris isn't doing interviews is because the media is not asking her to. Not truthfully looking to sit her down and get answers on behalf of you. Right now, they're working on behalf of Kamala. They are more interested in not putting Kamala Harris in a position to fail than they are in making sure that you have the position as a voter, a taxpaying citizen of the United States of America, to make the most educated decision that you can about who should lead this country come January 2025. They don't care about you. The efforts that need to be made going into this election, in order to ensure that the victory for Donald Trump is too big to rig, I can't underscore enough that you have to get involved. You have to talk to people about the election. You have to have uncomfortable conversations or be willing to listen to people. You don't have to be forceful. You don't have to be angry. You don't have to be mean, but you do have to talk about it. You have to be willing to push back on the things that the media won't push back on for you. And if people in your life care about you, they should listen. If they don't care about you, if they care about some support for Kamala Harris, somebody who will never get to know them or understand them and just needs them in November, that's it. After that, we're good. If the people in your life care more about support for that than they care about even agreeing to disagree with you because you had a meaningful conversation, that's a moment to reflect upon as well. Kamala Harris has demanded respect at every turn that she has never earned from the American people. And she's going to try to sail that boat all the way through November 5th to Inauguration Day in January 2025. The media is not going to stand in front of you on behalf of you to get to the answers from Kamala Harris. They're not going to do it. And yes, I will shake fists at the sky and I will be ticked off about it leading into the election. But I also at the same time don't expect it to change. We just have to double our efforts. And when I say we, I'm talking about you and me. We cannot rely on anybody else to do the job because they are more interested in power. I want to take a quick break. We got Tyrus a little bit earlier in the show today than usual. Why? Well, because Donald Trump, yeah, he's ready to talk to the media again. I've never really shied away from it to begin with. Donald Trump's going to have a press conference. It's scheduled for 1 o'clock our time, and we're going to carry it. So Tyrus is going to join us here a little bit earlier on the show when we come back. Don't go away.
I promise you, when Kamala Harris does a press conference, people will feel very comfortable. She'll actually answer the questions she's asked. She won't wander off onto other subjects. She won't be attacking different groups of people. So I'm not at all concerned about the vice president's ability to handle a press conference.
You're becoming like my most stable relationship.
Enough said.
Yes, it's 12:30, but it is time for Tyrus. He's a regular on Gutfeld, Fox News contributor and host of Maintaining with Tyrus on Outkick. Tyrus, thanks for fitting us in a little bit earlier here. The president, former president, wants to have a press conference here at 1 o'clock our time. So we're grateful that you were coming here. What's that?
The mitigated gall.
Yeah, in your spot, I know. Doesn't he check the Annie Fry Show schedule before he makes his press conferences?
You think you know somebody.
Kamala Harris, she didn't have a press conference going on right now. And that was the mayor of Detroit saying that he has no problem thinking that Kamala is going to handle that okay. What's going to happen if Kamala Harris ever has one of these press conferences?
Oh, well, I mean, she's obviously going to have them. We already know. We got a three-year audition. Okay, so this isn't like what is she going to say? We know what she's going to say. Again, you go back to the point. You're the president, the guy above you couldn't speak, not because he didn't want to, because Father Time had decided that his time was up in that aspect of things in his life, and they still wouldn't let her speak. So whenever she was in charge of something, they pulled her off it. So we've seen this show before. And they're just trying to put new, you know, under new management. It goes back to the same thing. We've all eaten at this restaurant. We've all gotten food poisoning. And now they put a sign up that says under new management, but it's the same cook. So, I mean, it's just, you know, it's just what it goes back to in this whole situation with her is we keep falling for it. You know, when is she going to speak? We know that that's not how you run against President Trump. Biden has what they consider the successful blueprint. Lay low, let him say enough. Eventually he'll say something to torpedo himself, and then you run off that. He gave them an early gift with the whole falling for the trap question about whether she was black or not. So for a whole week, everyone talked about that ridiculousness. So those are the things that they will, and then she doesn't have to speak because then everyone comes running out screaming, how dare you, how dare you? You know, setting up these fake virtue signaling spots of racism and all the other cheap stuff to get everyone talking about everything else but what's really going on. So I think it's important that we understand that there's not going to be press conferences unless they absolutely have to have one. And they don't because they seem to think this worked before. The basement plan worked once, so they're going to continue to do it again.
Tyrus, I don't think that Kamala Harris in her entire career has ever been really super likable from the masses, but maybe the better alternative in an election. A lot of times we vote for the lesser of two evils. People are criticizing Donald Trump right now for not being out there enough in advertising and hoping a social media game gets a little bit better. Do you think that they're being intentionally quiet right now to let Kamala overexpose herself to people?
Yeah, I think that's smart. Again, anyone who says that, he was in court fighting for his freedom. And coming out and doing press conferences every day. He's done rallies, literally. You know what? He might want to take a break, seeing how he just ducked a bullet 3 weeks ago.
Yes!
Just want to put that out there.
Exactly.
So, and he's continuing to do stuff like that. And his VP is out taking questions and doing the old school gaggle with, after, you know, with the reporters on the road and stuff. So again, it's the question of Trump being out there is pathetic, and anyone who falls for that, because the man's on TV every day, whether he likes it or not.
Yeah.
Like, he sneezed. You got 16 panels ready to tell you if it was a Hitler sneeze, was it a a toxic male sneeze, was it a racist sneeze, you know, or was it just a sneeze? So I don't think he needs to get out there more. I think, I personally think, the best ground game against someone, the turtle shell, what's with me and turtles, I don't know, but like, it's the turtle shell campaign where they hide in their shell and they only come out when the coast is clear.
Yeah.
So they need Trump to be, they want him out there. They want him engaging. They want him to have, you know, they send their pundits disguised as journalists to bait him and try to get him into gotcha moments. And they're only there to get a sound bite for the Kamala Harris team. So, I mean, it's just, we've seen it, and they played their game pretty well. I even feel like the Joe Biden debate, now that I look, when you look back on it, I was like, there's no way this guy, I said it over and over again, that Joe Biden going to debate with President Trump was probably a dumb move. But now that we look at it, I think it was a design move. They couldn't come out and get rid of him, and Trump destroyed him in the thing, and that gave him the fuel to replace him. So I think, because if it would have happened when it was supposed to happen, we wouldn't have had this debate until probably October.
Yeah.
By then, it's too late. You're stuck.
Yeah.
So unknowingly, whether they did it on either their geniuses or savants, one or the other, but they were able, Trump was able to do for them what they couldn't do with President Biden. And it changed the entire election. So I think we all need to, like, kind of take a step back and be like, okay, so we need to stop questioning, what are they going to do? We pretty much know what they're going to do. It's just how President Trump and J.D. Vance respond to it that's going to determine this election.
Kamala Harris is a lot more, you know, out there in the last week or so, of course, with her pick for Vice President Tim Walz. And I just am curious about your thoughts. Take the Donald Trump factor out of it, if that's even a possible thing to do. But if Kamala, like, the more Kamala that America is consuming, does that mean people are going to like her more? Or do you think she's got a likability problem, and the more people consume, the less they'll like her?
Well, both candidates, I would say, have a likability problem if we're just calling balls and stuff here. I think this election is going to come down to people who believe in meritocracy, where the best man gets the job, where you work. You know, America wants everyone to have the same opportunities. And if everyone is about lower taxes and taking care of their families and battling inflation, a strong border, and the other side is a socialist. So it's basically, this is about as far a divide between two different sides of the Democratic and Republican Party we've probably ever seen. She's doubled down with her VP pick. Trump's doubled down with his VP pick. So America has a clear choice. There should be no one going, I'm confused. I don't know. Like, we should not have any of those ridiculous segments on TV with the undecided voters come on the show and everyone, you know, the guy in the tight red sweater who's like, "Oh, I don't know." Like, stop it. Like,
I have to hear more.
I mean, you can't be anymore. You have socialism, you have DEI on one side, and you have capitalism on the other. So we're just going to have to wait and see which America, who America wants to be.
Yeah.
And it's going to, I think it's consequential in the terms of, it's almost a cultural election in the terms of America's core belief systems, which the Republicans are continuing to support, or this new socialist Marxist Democratic administration, which is an oxymoron in itself. And see which side of America wants to be. So it's going to be interesting, to say the least.
Tyrus, I know this because I read Just Tyrus, your first book, and seen a couple of your shows. I know that you spent time in the Midwest, and so you kind of understand in a way that a lot of people don't, the West Coast, the East Coast, but also you have that extra advantage. I would say it's an advantage as a Midwesterner myself, of knowing what the Midwest is like. And the way that Tim Walz has been, I'll just say, walked out to the American people, it's as if he's a golden retriever. And the way that the leftist media is talking about him, but really kind of appropriating Tim Walz's Midwesterness, It's like everybody's head patting and acting like it's real cute. And I'm wondering what you think about that Midwestern application of Tim Walz, maybe in the political advantage that it might lend them.
You know, if you had pictures of him chopping wood in his backyard, if you had pictures of him driving a pickup truck to work, if you had pictures of him still farming while he's working in office, if you had like stuff of him doing things that Midwesterners do, I always call it the dirt under the fingernails places, because everyone does work there.
Yeah.
There's a work ethic there. You wouldn't say you're a hunter because you go ice fishing. You would have real things, you know, butter sculpting. That's cute. That's stuff that tourists do when they come.
I did not butter sculpt, and I'm as Midwest as it freaking gets. Yeah. Why is everybody talking about that? It's like a main key point of what Midwesterners do. It's so offensive.
You understand. You know, you understand. It's like the typical, like you're trying to fluff your resume to impress.
Yeah, you're running out of things.
No experience. Yeah, and like, you know, you really like for example, if I was trying to impress on my wife, and I was like, oh, you know, I was trying to date her for the first time, and I found out that she was spent her life in the Midwest, and like she was a hunter, and she was grew up on a farm and stuff, and I started talking about, oh yeah, you know, I took the egg home from school, and I kept it in my, you know, and I took care of it. So, I like corn on the cob.
The question is, do you know the difference between sweet corn and feed corn?
I watched a couple Westerns, but not Midwesterns, but I'm kind of thinking it's the same thing. And, you know, so that, you know, I love the Midwest, and that thing would never happen. So again, when you don't, if you have it, you don't have to have, you never have to point out the obvious.
Right.
And if you're a Midwesterner, you don't have to point out the obvious. Can I see a picture of your house? Is there any wood? Is there any shaved wood in the house? Do you have a fire-burned name of the family hanging from the doorstep? Do any of your extended family members sing in church? Because if those are Midwestern things.
My parents lead the music at our church. That's hilarious.
Thank you. Thank you. Know what I'm talking about here. Stopping cold here. I'm more Midwestern than he is, and you know, you should never have to point out the obvious, and to say that you shouldn't have to say you're a Midwesterner. You should just, by the way you talk, the way you carry yourself, the way you vote. What is he doing for the farming community? I hope he's doing better than he did for the city, because he just let it burn for 2.5 days.
No kidding.
You know, so I think again, and that's not very Midwestern either, because Midwesterners. If a neighborhood, if someone's house was in trouble, the Midwest is known for communities coming with buckets of water. We've had where farmers have lost their farms to the bank, and the whole city shows up, and no one bids but the farmer. So that's what the Midwest is, and that he does not example, at least not showing any of those traits. Because the one thing that, another thing that's big out there is you're only good as your word, as far as men go in the Midwest. Like if a man without his word out there, if your handshake don't mean anything, you're going to have a rough existence, because word travels fast in the Midwest. So I just feel like it was, but again, it's going to depend on what the people of the Midwest think who are living in, you know, Wisconsin, Nebraska, Missouri, and all those. We saw, like, you know, Booker found out real quick. So, I mean, we're just going to see what happens. If you claim something and you're not it, then that should really affect your performance in those Midwest states. But, you know, it just depends. Again, I don't even try to like say he claims. I'm just saying it was easy. This stuff is easy to dispel, but is the average American who's working and worried about putting food on the table, watching this much news right now, listening to much radio, that you don't know. So it's polar opposites. It's a yin and yang election of, that's the best way I can describe it.
Yeah, it's interesting as a Midwesterner to watch the East Coast media talk about the Midwest like we're animals at a zoo exhibit, and they're just very fascinated. They want to pet one. It's bizarre.
I don't like it because the pet one's going to make you do work.
So. yeah, it's good until you got to do the work. That's right.
Everybody wants pie, so they got to make it.
Tyrus, thank you for being with us a little bit early. We always appreciate talking to you.
Yes, ma'am.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye. Tyrus has multiple books out. I was talking about Jess Tyrus. He has been all over the country. He knows the country, and he's continuing to tour the country on his stand-up tour, which started right here with our audience at the Wildy in Edwardsville. He's continued to book city after city. And when I say city, I mean probably more like town and he does multiple nights because they sell out. It's amazing. And really excited to be able to be a part of the ground floor of that. But you always see him on Gutfeld, of course. He's a Fox News contributor. You should get his latest book, Nuff Said, which is available right now. Let's take a quick break. Wiggins America, when we come back, he's going to give us some tips on how to get through the rest of this election season, according to NPR. So we'll see. We'll see. Maybe this is the coming together point for us. Ryan Wiggins and Wiggins America next. You better have a good Wiggins America this time. You've got Celine.
We got to let this play a little bit.
Is this a response to yesterday's how do you handle your emotions? We have some things to say. You do.
This is Celine Dion?
Oh my gosh, yes.
I know this song. Did not even realize it was her.
What? How do you? Who did you think it was?
I've never thought that deeply about it. I would hear you. Oh, I know that song. Oh yeah, I know every moment of the song. When the wind was
so cold. Who else could that be?
No kidding.
This is more thought than I've ever given it. Right now,
you don't have to put any thought into it.
If you're watching the live stream, there were days when Annie is pantomiming it.
This is a great song, and I could nail it when I was 10, maybe 11. 96, I had the CD. It was white with a blue Celine signature, and she had short hair.
We even sang this song in boys' choir.
What? And I can't remember where. We probably should do Wiggins America, because this song is like 6 minutes left.
Yeah, when I was
still
9.
4.5 minutes left.
When I was 9, I was a soprano, and I had the lead. And I sang this song. All of this is made up.
Oh, this is new.
Oh, yeah, we sang this in boys' choir. Right. All right. Wiggins. Oh!
When you kiss me like this, when you hold me like that.
Yeah, who am I singing this to?
It was so long ago, but it's all coming back to me now, and you were 9. Man, I think there's a lawsuit coming after this.
It was like Christmas choirs and stuff. Didn't really fit, never really understood it, but man, I had the voice of an angel. So, it's what got me here.
The lips of an angel, isn't that a Creed song or something like that?
Lips of an angel?
Yeah.
No.
I'll Google it while you do
Closest thing I can think of is Red Hot Chili Peppers, Suck My Kiss. let's talk about...
I got nothing. Hinder?
No, I don't know. Let's talk about how to manage... election anxiety.
I have Wiggins America anxiety right now.
This is according to NPR, so you know the source. It says months away from the U.S. presidential election, 73% of respondents in a poll by the American Psychiatric Association say they are feeling anxious about the election. We can all agree with that, right? I mean, that's not way off.
Well, the interesting thing, well, yes. It's a fair statement, but I would say that the election is a smaller circle in a broader circle that is like the direction of this country and the turmoil at the border that's flooded into our states, and the Middle East is like maybe dabbling in nuclear war. So the election is a huge point in these much bigger concerns.
Yeah, economic. I mean, it's like there's a spotlight on those things more now than ever.
It's not like after the election, even if your candidate won, that all of those anxieties are going to go away.
No, although some of those issues might be solved better than others.
That's for sure.
It says that it's important to pay attention to those feelings, Annie. I'm glad we've been talking about feelings a lot.
I've been saying.
You were talking about men's feelings. I noticed that you... were very specific about only bringing up male emotions.
It was literally from the article that I was reading.
Yeah.
It wasn't like just my thoughts on the issue.
It's important to pay attention to those feelings, mm-hmm. especially stress, mm-hmm. says psychologist Lynn Bufka.
Yeah, I bet a psychologist wants you to pay attention to your stress. Maybe even take some therapy sessions.
Yeah, he might. And he would get an article written about him too. Deputy Chief of Professional Practice at the American Psychological Association. So they are suggesting that there are... you know, a handful of ways that you should deal with this election stress. And I want to see whether or not these are things that you are partaking in or whether you think you should. Number one, the first thing you should do is understand what's fueling your symptoms. It's the uncertainty.
No, it's definitely Kamala Harris right now. Yeah. It's got a name.
It's the uncertainty of what Kamala Harris might bring. The article
said, "No, we know what she's
going
to do."
Now, the article doesn't say anything about any particular candidate, but it does say that uncertainty is a breeding ground for anxiety and fear. I understand this. It says, how do you deal with it then? You shouldn't ask questions like, what is the worst thing that could happen? You should ask questions like, how likely is it that the worst case scenario happens? In this case, it seems about 50-50.
Yeah, it's not feeling really great.
It's not, but that's the first one, is they say, instead of asking yourself what's the worst thing that could happen.
Chris on YouTube says, this sounds like an article on how to deal with TDS, and I did say it was from NPR.
Yeah, and it might be. Another one here is, some of these are okay. Other ones I'm like, I don't know. Do things that are meaningful to you.
Oh, unlike what I normally do every day.
Just,
which is just useless.
Wake up, walk in circles, fall down. No, don't do that. Do things that are meaningful to you. That can involve connecting with other people on issues you care about and working toward a cause. Or it might involve making sure that your older parents have a good meal tonight.
How many syllables in the words toward?
Two.
That's definitely how you said it.
What do you do?
I don't know. It's kind of like a slurred one and a half. It's almost like
toward.
T-O-R-D.
You say turd.
No, I don't. It would be like T-O-R-D, toward.
Brad?
Same.
Tiebreaker?
Toward.
One?
Dang it.
And a half?
Yeah, one and a half-ish.
Because you said toward.
Toward. Yeah, toward. I always do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I bet others might.
There are probably a lot of folks.
That folks.
Hitting all the buttons today.
Right, I don't know all the folks.
And ancient. I still do this.
The
I do this to my wife.
Folks toward the future.
I do this totally off point here, but anytime I see the words ancient grains printed anywhere, I will, at least in my head, sometimes out loud, go, ancient grains. And my wife thinks it's the funniest thing I do.
I think you're perfect for each other. She is wonderful.
In that case, you need to keep doing it.
The next one, ways to deal with election anxiety, is to... I'm sorry.
Get it together.
I'm sorry.
Get it together.
I'm going to read it as it's written.
Okay.
Find other ways to cope.
NPR is just killing it.
This is the American Psychological Association.
What will we ever do without them?
Find other ways to cope. Thank you very much.
Find other than what?
It doesn't say, but
just
it will
like
give you some examples.
Panic?
Yeah, don't panic and scream. Don't pull your hair out.
No, I think that might be the other ways.
Do other things. That includes doing things that bring you joy and keep you in the present moment.
Have the people reading this article, especially if it was an article focused towards TDSers, have they never considered that?
Well, if you have never considered it, now you are. The leftists who listen to us are like, holy smokes.
George wants you to say Cool Whip.
Why?
Just say it.
Cool Whip.
All right.
It's not whip. Is that what you're looking for? No, I don't do that.
Cool Whip.
Wiggins America.
Is that the refined version?
Yeah. It's Wiggins America. Yesterday it would have been on a Wednesday. The last one. I got her pretty good, you guys. If you're not watching the live stream, now's the time.
It wasn't,
I think some liquid came out of your nose.
A little bit, maybe. But it was more about the timing, not the like gravity of the joke.
It's just great. And it's great because we have so few times that you can grab a drink in talk radio.
I'm trying.
That when you do it, and I just hit you at that moment.
Yeah, thanks.
It's great.
Forget hydration.
Last one. Stay socially connected. It seems fairly obvious.
So
but
don't isolate and seek out ways to cope.
Yeah. Don't socially isolate. Like, if you have a chance to go be a part of things.
Like a protest?
Don't, like, you know what would help? If they don't shut down all of society, you know, in the last few years. As multiple studies have shown, social isolation is...
They probably wrote this article 6 years ago, and they're like, shelf it.
Whoops.
Put it on the shelf.
Social isolation is bad for our mental and physical health. It is particularly harmful for our mental health. Stay connected with friends, family, peers, and other support.
Ender says touch grass.
Go touch grass.
That's just, Yeah.
It's ironic to me that the touch grass phrase would definitely come off of people on the internet talking to other interneters.
That is where it originated, though.
All right. This is Celine Dion. Did you know that?
I just realized.
Turn this up. Here we go. Can you sing this?
Yeah, when I was nine, I could. At every note.
Just do the 52-year-old version of it.
I didn't know these words.
You don't know this?
No, I don't know these words.
Hey, we're going to cover the Trump press conference when we come back. Don't go away. We'll see. Maybe this is the coming together point for us. Ryan Wiggins and Wiggins America next. You better have a good Wiggins America this time. You've got Celine.
We gotta let this play a little bit.
Is this a response to yesterday's how do you handle your emotions? We have some things to say. You do.
This is Celine Dion.
Oh my gosh, yes.
I know this song. Did not even realize it was her.
What? Who did you think it was?
I've never thought that deeply about it. I would hear you, I know that song. Oh yeah. I know every moment of it. When the wind
was so cold. Who else could that be?
No kidding.
This is more thought than I've ever given it. Right now.
You don't have to put any thought into it.
If you're watching the live stream, there were days when Annie is pantomiming it.
This is a great song, and I could nail it when I was 10, maybe 11. 96, I had the CD. It was white with a blue Celine signature, and she had short hair.
We even sang this song in voice choir.
What? And I can't remember where. Yeah, we probably should do Wiggins Mary, because this song is like 6 minutes long.
Yeah, when I was
still
nine.
Still 4.5 minutes left.
When I was nine, I was a soprano, and I had the lead. And I sang this song. All of this is made up.
Oh, this is new.
Oh, yeah, we sang this in boys choir. Right. All right. Wiggins.
When you kiss me like this, when you hold me like that.
Yeah, who am I singing this to?
It was so long ago, but it's all coming back to me now when you were nine. Man, I think there's a lawsuit coming after this.
It was like Christmas choirs and stuff. Didn't really fit, never really understood it, but man, I had the voice of an angel. So, that's what got me here.
The lips of an angel, isn't that a Creed song or something like that?
Lips of an angel?
Yeah.
No.
I'll Google it while you do
Closest
Wiggins
thing
America.
I can think of is Red Hot Chili Peppers, Suck My Kiss. let's talk about...
I got nothing. Hinder?
No, I don't know. Let's talk about how to manage... election anxiety.
I have Wiggins America anxiety right now.
This is according to NPR, so you know the source. It says months away from the U.S. presidential election, 73% of respondents in a poll by the American Psychiatric Association say they are feeling anxious about the election. We can all agree with that, right? I mean, that's not way off.
Well, the interesting thing, well, yes. It's a fair statement, but I would say that the election is a smaller circle in a broader circle that is like the direction of this country and the turmoil at the border that's flooded into our states, and the Middle East is like maybe dabbling in nuclear war. So the election is a huge point in these much bigger concerns.
Yeah, economic. I mean, it's like there's a spotlight on those things more now than ever.
It's not like after the election, even if your candidate won, that all of those anxieties are going to go away.
No, although some of those issues might be solved better than others.
That's for sure.
It says that it's important to pay attention to those feelings, Annie. I'm glad we've been talking about feelings a lot.
I've been saying.
You were talking about men's feelings. I noticed that you... were very specific about only bringing up male emotions.
It was literally from the article that I was reading.
Yeah.
It wasn't like just my thoughts on the issue.
It's important to pay attention to those feelings, mm-hmm. especially stress, mm-hmm. says psychologist Lynn Bufka.
Yeah, I bet a psychologist wants you to pay attention to your stress. Maybe even take some therapy sessions.
Yeah, he might. And he would get an article written about him, too. Deputy Chief of Professional Practice at the American Psychological Association. So, they are suggesting that there are... you know, a handful of ways that you should deal with this election stress. And I want to see whether or not these are things that you are partaking in or whether you think you should. Number one, The first thing you should do is understand what's fueling your symptoms. It's the uncertainty.
No, it's definitely Kamala Harris right now. Yeah. It's got a name.
It's the uncertainty of what Kamala Harris might bring. The article
said, "No, we know
what
she's going to do."
Now, the article doesn't say anything about any particular candidate, but it does say that uncertainty is a breeding ground for anxiety and fear. I understand this. It says, "How do you deal with it?" Then you shouldn't ask questions like, "What is the worst thing that could happen?" You should ask questions like, "How likely is it that the worst case scenario happens?" In this case, it seems about 50-50.
Yeah, it's not feeling really great.
It's not, but that's the first one, is they say, instead of asking yourself what's the worst thing that could happen.
Chris on YouTube says, this sounds like an article on how to deal with TDS, and I did say it was from NPR.
Yeah, and it might be. Another one here is, some of these are okay. Other ones I'm like, I don't know. Do things that are meaningful to you.
Oh, unlike what I normally do every day,
which is just
useless.
Wake up, walk in circles, fall down. No, don't do that. Do things that are meaningful to you. That can involve connecting with other people on issues you care about and working toward a cause. Or it might involve making sure that your older parents have a good meal tonight.
How many syllables in the words toward?
Two.
That's definitely how you said it.
What do you do?
I don't know. It's kind of like a slurred one and a half.
Toward,
yeah, one and a half is.
It's almost like T-O-R-D.
You say turd.
No, I don't. It would be like T-O-R-D, toward.
Brad?
Same.
Tiebreaker?
Toward.
One?
Dang it.
And a half?
Yeah, one and a half-ish.
Because you said toward.
Toward. Yeah, toward. I always do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I bet others might.
There are probably a lot of folks. That
folks.
Hitting all the buttons today.
Right, I don't know all the ancient.
And ancient. I still do this.
The
I do this to my wife.
Folks toward the future.
I do this totally off point here, but anytime I see the words ancient grains printed anywhere, I will, at least in my head, sometimes out loud, go, ancient grains. And my wife thinks it's the funniest thing I do.
I think you're perfect for each other. She is wonderful.
In that case, you need to keep doing it.
The next one, ways to deal with election anxiety, is to...
Get it together.
I'm going to read it as it's written.
Okay.
Find other ways to cope.
NPR is killing it.
This is the American Psychological Association.
What would we ever do without them?
Find other ways to cope. Thank you very much.
Find other than what?
It doesn't say, but
just
it will
like
give you some examples.
Panic?
Yeah, don't panic and scream. Don't pull your hair out.
No, I think that might be the other way.
Do other things. That includes doing things that bring you joy and keep you in the present moment.
Have the people reading this article, especially if it was an article focused towards TDSers, have they never considered that?
Well, if you have never considered it, now you are. The leftists who listen to us are like, holy smokes.
George wants you to say Cool Whip.
Why?
Just say it.
Cool Whip.
All right.
It's not whip. Is that what you're looking for? No, I don't do that.
Cool Whip.
Wiggins America.
Is that the refined version?
Yeah. It's Wiggins America. Yesterday it would have been on a Wednesday. The last one. I got her pretty good, you guys. If you're not watching the live stream, now's the time.
It wasn't,
I think some liquid came out of your nose.
A little bit, maybe, but it was more about the timing, not the like gravity of the joke.
It's just and it's great because we have so few times that you can grab a drink in talk radio.
I'm trying.
That when you do it and I just hit you at that moment.
Yeah, thanks.
It's great.
Forget hydration.
Last one. Stay socially connected. It seems fairly obvious, but
don't isolate and seek out ways to cope.
Yeah. Don't socially isolate. Like, if you have a chance to go be a part of things.
Like a protest?
Don't, like, you know what would help? If they don't shut down all of society, you know, in the last few years. As multiple studies have shown, social isolation
is... They probably wrote this article 6 years ago, and they're like, shelf it.
Whoops.
Put it on the shelf.
Social isolation is bad for our mental and physical health. It is particularly harmful for our mental health. Stay connected with friends, family, peers, and other support.
Ender says, touch grass.
Go touch grass.
Just, yeah.
It's ironic to me that the touch grass phrase would definitely come off of people on the internet talking to other interneters.
That is where it originated, though.
All right. This is Celine Dion. Did you know that? Turn this.
I just realized.
Turn this up. Here we go. Can you sing this?
Yeah, when I was nine, I could. At
just,
every note.
Just do the 52-year-old version of it.
I don't know these words.
You don't know this?
No, I don't know these words.
Hey, we're going to cover the Trump press conference when we come back. Don't go away.